Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Moltov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
Look, it's not great balls of fire, but I just can't with this Extreme Rules show.
This to me, here's why I'm going to stay on the lighter side of life here.
Oh, God.
It's going to be one of those shows where you don't care and you don't have any expectations and you're going to watch it and you'll be like, that was pretty good.
Sure.
It's going to be one of those?
Sure.
Because you know what? To all the internet's babitchery, and it's summer and we're all hot, and I get it. But of all the babitchery out there, which is a word I'm going to trademark.
Sure, babitchery.
Babitchery. There haven't
been... Is that like habitual bitching?
Sure. But of all the babitchery out there, there actually haven't been that many bad pay-per-views in recent memory. Some, but not like most. And not many, honestly. The average WWE show is either good or one of these where you go, I have no hopes, which is exactly what you should have, none. And then I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. What this is going to be, what this show is a quintessential example of, they're too much. There's three pay-per-views in like 7 weeks.
Yep.
There would be reasons to look forward to this show on paper if it wasn't just too much. At the same time, though, as we have our paying customers to have us talk about it, it will be a show worth watching, and I think a lot of people are going to walk away and go, I'm glad I saw it.
I just don't understand why the flipping Undertaker's here.
I also don't get it. I also think that...
Or why he hasn't been on in recent weeks.
Well,
I get that more.
Well, here's why. Here's one theory I'll throw out there. Just, you asked a question, I'll throw a theory. The last time we saw him, it was bad. So we got to get him right back out there so the last time you see him, it's good. Because what he does is he comes in these little chunks and appears every like 8 months or so, something like that. I don't know the math. Whatever.
Right.
You know, every 8 months plus WrestleMania season or whatever.
I think.
And I think the last time you saw him, it was one of the worst performances of, you know, because of what it is, right? They're both 100,000 years old and that shouldn't happen, whatever. But the point is, big picture here, no matter who's to blame and whatever, it was bad.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a concerted effort to get him out there and have him be part of something that's good. A tag team match protects the crap out of him.
See, I think it's more selfish than that. I think that the reason is that nobody went to Stomping Grounds. So
You're right.
So how do we ensure that people pay attention to Extreme Rules?
And go.
Oh,
that's
the
biggest thing. Go.
I need you to go. How do I get you to go?
I need to never block off half an arena again.
And so how do I do that? The Undertaker's here.
Oh, you're right. Oh, you are right. That is absolutely it. Your answer is probably a much bigger slice of the pie.
Yeah.
I also do.
I think there's probably. The saddest part about this is it's so sad that our break glass in case of emergency guy is The Undertaker.
Yeah.
And he's older than somebody that I think everybody, like, you want to really break glass in case of emergency and make sure that people don't come, like, people don't miss this goddamn show, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
You're right, and it always will, that'll always be the answer, but here's why that'll always be the answer, is because it's never going to happen. So
right.
Year after year after year, he's that bottle of champagne your dad's saving in the basement, and it's like, look, the Mets are never going to win the World Series, so if your dad is waiting for that...
Here's the thing, the Red Sox and the Cubs have, anything's possible.
Yeah, I know, but like, and I think we can all agree, they're much better off than the Kansas City Royals. It's a terrible franchise with a terrible fan base. It's just an awful fan base.
Hey, Canyon.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Do you know why I did that?
I saw the
DM.
I saw the DM.
Where he just goes, can you just say this and then not follow up at all and freak my girlfriend out? I'm like, I'm always down for stuff like that. So
I just wish I knew beforehand.
I literally was looking at the DM for the first time on the air. And I'm like, if I don't keep this open and look at him, I'm gonna forget.
Yeah, I'm glad somebody did.
Yeah, right.
Because that would have been great.
Right. Yeah. I hope that worked. I hope they're in the car and she's like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
I hope somewhere out there that's what happened. But Extreme Rules. But you're right, because the thing is, the reason that year after year after year is because wisely, he knows it wouldn't be much better than what we saw. I mean, he's got to be close to 50.
Yeah.
His knees are
shit. Over 50, right?
Steve Austin?
Yeah.
Oh, he's got to be, yeah.
Okay. Is Steve Austin 18? No. Steve Austin's not 18 years older than me, is he? Is that crazy?
He's got to be.
54.
Steve Austin's over 20
years
old.
He was old in his prime in WWE.
Yeah. Well, he won his first championship at 33, 31, 31?
35.
No. 31 or 33. In 1998, how old was Stone Cold Steve Austin?
34.
30, what?
Yeah, he was born in 64.
And so in... Wow. Really? But okay.
Your perception on everything has changed.
Yeah, right. All of a sudden, my whole world is flipped upside
down. And
right
at
now.
Last I see the light.
I love saying this on my birthday.
And it's like the cloud has lifted.
Steve Austin's over 20 years older than me. That's, wow, that's good. That's surprising.
So he's 70?
Yeah. Wow, really nice. That was,
nailed it.
That was funny. but you're right, though, because Steve Austin knows, just goes, I can't give you what you want. You know, I can give you what you want at WrestleMania 32.
Yeah, because you want to just meet
Stunners in the fucking song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's the whole thing. Yep. You know what I mean?
The literal break glass in a case of emergency guy.
Exactly. And you can't afford The Rock, and you don't want to do it.
And you refuse to use John
and
Cena.
And you hate John Cena. Oh, it's like, because Triple H is gaining more and more power, and he's going to show it, and you hate John Cena. And you're like, no, it's Roman Reigns. Oh, what about John Cena? No! Roman Reigns is the biggest draw in wrestling. Oh, how come you blocked off half the arena? Because John Cena can't be here. There's no good reason. but you're right. And Triple H, we get it's not you.
Well, it's not, because you're a part of this program.
Right, exactly, in a very specific way. And so you're right, it's The Undertaker. And, yup, and to be fair, to be honest, yeah, are there a family of three somewhere, there a family of four, you know, some guy and his two kids that are like, hey, do you want to go see The Undertaker, and wouldn't have gone to that show
otherwise,
but will go to see The Undertaker?
How many bros?
Absolutely.
How many bros in the area are going to go because The Undertaker's there?
It'll work.
He's wrestling Shane McMahon.
Wait, don't confuse the snark for the fact that it'll work. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm not telling you it won't.
It's also Philly.
Right. It'll work.
Yeah.
It's just, it's the same. It's just at one point, it's just like, that should tell you something, that your main show, not roster, show.
It's not good.
Can't draw that on its own kind of idea.
When we go down with this list of names, you fucking should.
Yeah. Well, right. Exactly.
Because like, if this was being held on Saturday in Jacksonville for Fight for the Fallen, we would absolutely love this
show. You use the Bullet Club to promote some Japan trip you're going on, and then they won't be the Bullet Club after the Japan trip is over.
Yeah, right.
And that's how you can just use the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
You can be like, put them together for 4 weeks, and then we're done, and then we don't use them because we don't care, we don't have to.
It's yeah.
Like, yeah, wow. Any other company in the world would give you anything. The promoter would mortgage his house to have the Bullet Club.
You literally have the second coming of the NWO. On your roster.
And you're just like, yep, you're going to put over this Japan trip, and then you're going to disband. And that's what's actually going to happen. Don't talk to me about Finn Balor. Stop it. Yeah. Stop it. The NWO debuted, and they go, we're really nice guys, we promise.
They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, with this stuff, with other people's stuff. With other people's stuff, they don't know what they're doing. But I would
argue that they don't know what they're doing with their stuff.
I think Extreme Rules is going to be a good show. I'm going to stick to that.
Like,
let's get to the card. What are the actual matches?
Yeah, let's dive into that. The Cruiserweight Championship is on the line first, and Drew Gulak is defending against Tony Nese.
I want to call him Goo-Drulak.
Goo-Drulak. Drew Gulak, he just won this thing. I unfortunately don't think Tony Nese is going to come out on top.
Yeah, I like Gulak as a champion. It's a change of pace, and let's see what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not going to pretend I care much about this title, but Drew Gulak is a very good pro wrestler, and much in the way Drew Gulak almost feels like an indie guy in a big time, because he's putting himself over and he's kind of doing anything you know about him, he's pretty much done it online, you know what I mean, and putting himself over.
Right.
And I like the guy, so let's keep it going.
All right, Cesaro is battling Aleister Black.
Okay.
So finally, somebody was knocking on Aleister's door.
My like little snarky thing is like, I don't like these Aleister Black promos. I just think they're long-winded. I don't like them.
Stupid.
He was destined to talk more on the main roster than NXT. That was always in the cards, but I don't think this is what it should be. Anyway, to focus on something good, the lighter side again. This is a world-class matchup. This is Cesaro versus Aleister Black. This is awesome. This is Antonio versus the Claudio. This is Claudio versus Tommy End. This is awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
This is good stuff. And this is another example of why I think you'll walk away from this show being like, if I wasn't so exhausted by WWE, I'd be psyched to have watched this wrestling program.
Right.
Because this is a great match this would main event a lot of things, is my point. I think that Aleister Black will win because he's just...
This is what we're doing.
Exactly. But, you know, again, another reason to look forward to this show, and we'd like you to, is because this is going to be all-time stuff. World-class stuff.
Am I the only one that isn't disappointing that the one that was knock-knock-knocking wasn't Axl Rose?
Yeah, that's Heaven's Door.
Oh, it's not Aleister's door.
That's Heaven's Door, and he should have been. Yeah, he'll be, or Bray Wyatt maybe because of door.
What
are we doing with Bray Wyatt the wrestler?
I don't know, but
he wasn't on. There was no Firefly Funhouse, right?
No, but the puppets are popping the up puppets backstage everywhere.
Right, yeah. right. But that's been consistent even when they did do Firefly Funhouses.
Correct.
So where's that segment going? That was like a reason to watch.
I would expect The Miz to find his way onto this show, and that's what happens with Bray Wyatt.
Okay, because I got to admit, the Firefly Funhouse is a reason to watch.
Sure.
And I wouldn't want that to go away under New Direction. I wouldn't want them to think like one of the things that needed to change under New Direction is that, quite frankly.
Yes, no, you're absolutely right. That was working before. Keep it going.
Right, exactly. I do think Aleister Black will win, and I think this is something to look forward to.
Yes.
All right, the Raw Tag Team Championships are on the line, and the Revival are defending against the Usos.
I hope that... It really is confusing because I can never figure out which side the Usos are leaning on. Ultimately, I want these to go to Gallows and Anderson.
Okay.
Right? And so if they're both bad guys, I don't want them to change so that they can get to Gallows and Anderson.
Okay.
But if the Usos are good guys, I understand if they're a transitional champion to SummerSlam for them to be taken off by the Good Brothers.
Even if there's trickery involved in the finish, I think that what WWE has done a great job over the last year plus, close to 2 years now because time is weird, they want you to think of the Usos as a big deal premier tag team, right? To the point where guys on camera who aren't associated, they're just like, well, randomly bring up that they're the best tag team in the world. And quite frankly, they might be in the conversation, whatever. And so they've done it. They've wanted to. They've said, these guys are big time premier team. You believe it. I believe it. We did it. And I think not necessarily to their level, because I think they want the Usos to wind up being presented as an all-time tag team. I don't think they care about the Revival quite that much, to be honest with you. But I do think now what they want to do is go, we want you to take the Revival seriously. We used to have them lose a lot. There was a lot of jokes about it.
Right.
These guys, you know, famously almost asked for their release on Twitter like 6 months ago, right? Everybody was unhappy and all that stuff, right? And you know they have a job waiting for them, wink, wink. And so now's the time when they should beat the Usos, because I can't implore this enough. It doesn't bring the Usos down. It brings the Revival up. We cemented how good the Usos are. They can't lose that kind of shine. You know what I mean? Like, Michael Jordan on the Wizards doesn't mean that the Bulls thing wasn't the fucking balls. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so... it's about them winning, not the Usos losing.
Yeah,
and I think that's what will happen.
Sure.
It's one way or the other, Revival are going to start being like getting more and more credibility.
Yeah, okay.
All right, the United States Championship is on the line, and Ricochet is defending against AJ Styles.
I hope that we go through with this because I want the Bullet Club, more than anything, I want the Bullet Club in WWE. And AJ Styles winning the United States Championship is another step closer to that.
I would love to see it. Here's the road.
Right.
We've got Balor. We got these guys. It's easy, right? Balor's doing nothing, so you can just plug him
in. He's not even on this show.
Right. It's,
again.
He's the Intercontinental Champion. You know what I mean? And it's crazy. And it's like you could plug it. He's not like, oh, but he's doing this kick-ass thing with Joe right now. What are we going to pull the plug? No, just do whatever you want.
He looked at Shinsuke Nakamura like a month ago and hasn't done anything since.
I don't know how I'd bet if I had to be a betting man on pro wrestling with this one. What I would tell you is AJ beat him on TV so Ricochet can win and defend his title and have his. Again, we just talked about the Usos and the Revival.
Right.
This can be a here I am win for Ricochet. And that's why AJ beat him on TV non-title.
Yeah.
Big picture, story-wise, AJ winning the U.S. title on his way to the club being super dangerous is awesome. What I could also tell you is that story's a lot better if he beats Kofi Kingston. And so, or Seth Rollins, whatever. Mm-hmm. But to me, to like be like, holy crap, the U.S. title doesn't do that the way the world title does. So if you're going to go all in on, holy crap, the club are here, that's a world title thing. So I think that Ricochet lost on TV to win at the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
All right. The SmackDown Tag Team Championships are on the line in a triple threat contest. And Rowan and Daniel Bryan are defending against the New Day and Heavy Machinery.
So this is like a very, very niche New Japan reference, but
okay.
Daniel Bryan and Rowan remind me of like the vegan killer elite squad.
who are in who comprise that team?
The Killer Elite Squad is
Mike Elgin in it?
No, he is not.
Nobody likes Mike Elgin.
No, he just
like in the business.
Yeah, no, he just wrestled at Slammiversary.
Elgin?
Yeah, he.
Nobody likes him. Everybody just has like bad things to say about him.
Yeah, I hear that he's like just a little bit of a douche.
Like people, and I won't name names, but people that have nothing bad to say about anyone have bad things to say about Mike Elgin.
Killer Elite Squad is made up of Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance Archer.
Oh, okay. I know who those people are.
Yeah. So they're basically just like big, mean, and dangerous.
Okay.
But every single time I see Rowan, basically, it feels like he should be in Killer Elite Squad. And Daniel Bryan is just a mean pit bull at this point.
Awesome. Here's the thing I must admit, just to be real with you as possible. I almost forget that Eric Rowan and Daniel Bryan are the tag team champions until they come out on TV.
Right.
Yeah.
But then when they do, I'm happy about it.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
That's how I feel about the Killer Elite Squad, too.
Right, sure. Like, it's how I feel about there's a significant amount of guys, unfortunately, that I just go, oh, yeah, that's right, you're here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
But, like, Eric Rowan and Daniel Bryan being the tag team champions are like, oh, that's right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I like it. I don't think it's Heavy Machinery's night.
No, I want it to be, but it's not.
I don't have, like, a long-winded explanation. I don't think it's their night.
Yeah. Otis is slowly becoming a huge star.
Guy's awesome.
He is.
The thing is Otis is a star in the way that like you can't look away from that guy, and he's all the wrestling magnetism. Guy's got it, right?
Right.
But don't sweat on his tag team partner Tucker. That guy can go.
Yeah.
That guy's got size, but that guy can go. And so there's not just like no one's dragging each other down the road.
Yeah. Because
I would tell you that Tucker's the better wrestler, but you can't take your eyes off this Otis dude. So I like him.
They're awesome.
I just don't think it's their
night. I don't think so either. I wouldn't be surprised if the New Day steal one here.
Okay, gotcha.
It's been a while since the New Day have been tag team champions. It kind of fits, you know. Basically, right now we're in that point of Kofi Kingston's WWE title run that we need to kind of add another wrinkle, right? Because...
Well, and here it is. Go for it.
Right, because him just like... Oh, you don't deserve to be champion. Let me prove you wrong. We've hit that. This Samoa Joe thing is that last potential mountain. So now the New Day being all the champions.
Yeah, guess who goes after them? The club.
The club.
Because it's a world title level thing.
Yes.
And the wild card rule means I can go anywhere I want.
And they
that
break
stuff.
Your heart.
Right, exactly.
And they break your
heart.
And
the New Day, you know, they reach this unbelievable mountain, which they deserve. This is like, this is one of those.
This is the crowning achievement for the unit.
And this is one of those rare times where I use the word in wrestling deserve.
Yeah.
But like, you guys sold the merch, put in the dates, sold the tickets, got the crowd into it, did the work. And now you're all the championships, and that's a great picture and a great moment and very deserving as eventually, no matter what, Kofi Kingston's title reign will end.
Right.
And if it's at the hands of the Bullet Club, you know, what finer way in wrestling to die? You know what I mean? At least it's not Baron Corbin. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, you know, it's like a real thing.
Right. And every great title reign does deserve that second thing because, you know, like we've talked about a million times on this show, you know, when the babyface finally overcomes, there's a now what? And so you need to kind of evolve the story because, you know, it's easy for the first couple of opponents to be like, you're none deserving. But we need to figure out what is next for the unit. And I think the New Day is all the champions.
Yep.
I think the New Day are going to pick it up.
Okay. That's not a bad story at all. Cause you're right. It actually leads to building something. And as fun as Rowan and Brian are as a team, there's nothing much to them as, like, champions.
There's also nothing left for them to do.
Yeah, right. Exactly. They should have made non-leather belts for them.
Yeah, like he did for the WWE Championship.
Yeah, they should. They set an expectation.
Yes.
In one of three matches on this card that actually has a stipulation, we have a last man standing match between Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley.
Neat.
Yeah. I want to tell you that this could be one of those matches that like surprises you. And I'm not telling you it's going to be bad, but I'm not sure it's going to surprise you.
Yeah.
This could be just fine, though. I mean, it could be just fine.
Yeah, sure. They're going to crash into each other. It'll be fun.
But I'm not going to pretend like I'm like, oh, this will be the one that people are talking about. I think it'll be. And it could be. Who knows?
But I doubt it.
Pet peeve of yours as a continuity guy, as a storytelling guy, that 1 week Bobby Lashley goes crashing through a board to the point he gets carted off in an ambulance, and the next week there's no repercussions, and in fact he almost squashes Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that?
Sorry, say that again. I just got an alert about the somebody didn't get the stream, but then they got the stream.
Oh, gotcha. So as a continuity guy, as a storytelling guy, week A, Week one, Bobby Lashley is put through a LED board and gets rushed to the hospital. Oh, my God, is he even alive?
Yes.
Corey Graves says, holy shit, over it. Second week, the 1 week he's back, he squashes Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, it's stupid. Nothing means anything, and that's part of why this show sucks.
Like, I didn't expect him to come back and be Kane now, but right. I thought there might be repercussions to, like,
no, and
Corey Graves saying, holy shit.
This is part of what I was talking about on the main show with Cedric Alexander.
Yeah.
Nothing means anything.
Yeah, that one to me is, like, again... That with Heyman there, and I know that Vince McMahon can easily just be like, no, I'm doing this. I gotcha. But with Heyman there, I would have thought he would have put his foot down and be like, look, Lashley can't be on TV this week. And if he is, he's got to be all fucked up or burned or viciously mean. There's got to be something. He can't just go squash Rey Mysterio.
Well, it's the product of having too many pay-per-views. I mean, there's a pay-per-view this Sunday. He had to be on TV this week.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you're right. And that's just unfortunate. You know what I mean?
Should have canceled this match. Because ultimately, there's 10 matches on this card.
Yep. Yeah. And Bobby Lashley's not why you're watching.
And Bobby Lashley. And so it's like,
neither is Braun Strowman. No, he's not why you're watching this show.
No. And they can be important to the next one.
Right.
But yeah, having them maim each other when going through that stage to the point where, we couldn't do this match. Yeah, that would be better. Because, again, this show doesn't need it.
It also would be an awesome card subject to change. And I get why they don't do it, because it's like there'd be some fan with a ticket that goes, I wanted to see the match, and you took it away, and you advertised it. And I get it, but you're right. That would have been a great way for Paul Heyman to be like, hey, these shows are too long. I'm cutting a match, but we're going to do it cool.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But we don't.
Strowman.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the internet believes that Strowman's on his way to another massive push.
Okay. I would bet on Lashley.
We'll see it when I believe it.
Yeah, I'd bet on... I don't know why, but I'd bet on Lashley. Strowman.
All right. So the SmackDown Women's Championship is on the line in a handicap match, and Bayley is defending against both Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross.
Oh, Alexa Bliss is going to screw over Nikki Cross, and Bayley's going to win.
Oh, I'm going to say that Nikki Cross steals this thing and she finally stands on her own, because I don't like anything about what they've done to her. Like, so it's like weird, because like,
so does the title change hands if Nikki Cross wins?
Oh, is that not, she can't win?
Because it's a handicap match.
Yeah, I'm unsure.
So I don't know.
I don't know.
I am unsure.
If CN pins Rollins, do they tie?
Yeah.
Let's ask Lance Storm.
Yeah.
Is that it, though?
I don't know whether it's Alexa Bliss wins the title if Nikki Cross pins
because
her.
She chose the stipulation. It was a handicap match, so she's technically on her team, right?
Yeah, then you're right.
Yeah.
Then you're right.
Yeah.
Then that will be what happens. It's a weird thing. It's a two-sided coin, just very quickly. My least favorite character in wrestling is clinically insane, because I'm all for suspension of disbelief. I'm all for it. But in some point, even with suspension of disbelief, you had to have a job interview or somebody had to let you in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. And you being
especially like, this version of the promotion. This version of the promotion feels like there's rules and regulations.
Exactly.
It's not like Mortal. Like the Attitude Era felt very much like a Mortal Kombat tournament.
Look at the oddities.
You know what
there
I mean?
There was a guy with a ball gag and the Cartman guy, and it's just like, we had the back doors open.
Yeah.
The door to the arena was open.
Like instead of a job interview, there was a prelim fight.
Right.
And you had to fight somebody to get on this show.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And like Kane. Like they were just like, the Undertaker's brother's here and he tried to kill him and now he works here.
Yeah.
Because he's here. He's here, right?
Well, because again, the show's much better if you format it as Mortal Kombat.
Right, exactly. But I have a tough time.
Yeah. This mentally ill patient,
right? This woman that's basically the little brother in the Wild Thornberries.
Yeah, right.
you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how are you working here?
Yeah, how'd you get here? And more importantly, how do you keep showing up to work?
But this extreme 90 degree, like 180 degree, like. Now I'm just normal, and my character is to be unbelievably Scottish, and I'm. Becky,
Scottish
name?
Lynch.
I'm Alexa Bliss's friend, and that's about it. And I know that a couple months ago, I was like eating me hair, but now I got makeup and stuff. And it's like, I wish that you weren't like, wah! But now that you are, how have you possibly just like 1 week ago, I'm just not crazy anymore.
Right.
I'm not crazy at all. And I'm like, Becky.
And then how come like, Alexa is still Russian?
Right, sometimes. But like Alexa Bliss is like, I like your friend, but you know, and it's like, I don't know. And I just don't get, like, that's the thing about it. It's like, I don't know which tantrum to have. I don't like clinically insane wrestling characters, or the fact that you shifted it so quickly. Because I feel like in a nutshell, you did it. So it's who you are.
And you didn't have like a Dr. Shelby situation.
Yeah, right. You're just, you know. And somebody told me that like on an episode, a main event, she said something that implied it's like, don't make me do that.
don't make me go find.
Don't make me look for context clues in main event. I won't do it for you. Yeah, I love everybody listening so much, especially you, the paying customer. I will not do that for you.
No.
And it's like that. No. So.
Yeah.
So no.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I shouldn't get crucial plot development for Batman in some obscure Aqualad comic.
Right. I don't need to look at like Christian Bale's Twitter to figure out what's going to happen in Batman. Unacceptable. And so like yeah, that stuff. But yeah, that answer sounds right. Bailey will win or escape.
Yeah. All right, the WWE Championship is on the line and Kofi Kingston is defending against Samoa Joe.
Go ahead.
I just think Kofi Kingston is going to win just because I set it up with the New Day earlier. That's the reason why.
I really, really hope one day we get to see WWE champion Samoa Joe, and I don't think it's impossible. I wouldn't bet on it, unfortunately, if you just make me be honest with you, but I don't think it's impossible, and I'd love to see WWE champion Samoa Joe, and it won't be Sunday.
No.
All right, there is a no-holds-barred tag team match on this card, and it's between Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre against Roman Reigns and The Undertaker.
Oh, this is so
dumb. The Undertaker.
Yeah, The Undertaker and Roman Reigns are going to win.
Yes. So let's talk about it just a little bit more. Is that that's not the main event. Okay, so we don't have to go crazy on this. Great. You were so right. The biggest reason he is here is because the last time we had a pay-per-view, the arena was embarrassingly light, and we need to do better than that. And he is, for all the flaws and everything and all of it, he is a draw.
Yeah.
He is a draw. He is one of those guys where it's like in the sense of literally, if you break down the very literal sense of a draw, I went because he's on the show. You're the draw on it, right? And so
drew me to the show.
There are people.
Not you drew McIntyre me to the show.
Right, exactly. You didn't. Yeah, you didn't animate me here.
Yeah,
that was how you drew me. you know what I mean? Like I'm not a flipbook character in the fucking Staples Center or whatever. But the. And it's true, for better or worse, and even if it makes you as a hardcore fan cringe because it's not like the Saudi money showing you that the stocks are doing great.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's like there will be people in that arena
that would not have been there
if not for him. And it is you do have to say it. Yeah, Taker and Reigns will win, and it'll be probably some sort of tombstone spear at the same time. Both guys get their comeuppance. I would imagine if he can handle it. McIntyre gets tombstoned and Shane gets speared and they both get pinned or something like that.
Something stupid.
Something or vice versa because Shane's lighter and shorter. But yeah, they'll win. And that's fine because
who cares?
Yeah, right. If we're going to do the match, then that's fine.
All right, so we're on to the main event of the evening and check out this match description as an absolute mouthful. You ready?
Yes.
The Last Chance Winners Take All Mixed Tag Team Extreme Rules Match for both the WWE Universal Championship and the Raw Women's Championship.
Bill's a great producer.
He is.
The microphone thing. The mixer that he asked for was the right mixer, too. That was the right mixer.
It was. So I hate that an Extreme Rules match.
The only Extreme Rules match.
Is just.
At Extreme Rules.
It's the.
I didn't even think of that.
Like the Extreme.
Holy shit. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, that's the main event match.
What's the wildest stipulation that's not this?
No holds barred.
No holds barred. The last man
standing. Last man standing. Wow. That's it.
You know what I mean? But it's just like, so I remember when Raven and Al Snow used to just have these crazy matches on Raw.
Yeah, roll each other up in like chain link.
Yeah, you know, like nonsense. And it's like, so now this is the main event stipulation of the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. This feels so disingenuous.
Yeah, and it's also like one of those things where, and here's a major bullet point we have to talk about. Don't let me forget this with the way my mind works. I could forget anything at any time.
Yeah, funny, especially at your age.
Both, great Larry Bird jersey, 33.
Both the jokes have been funny. and again, I love Larry Bird, but I do also love Jason Veritek. If we're gonna do 33 stuff.
Yeah. Or Patrick Ewing.
Oh, are we just gonna
No, he's not on the list.
Are we gonna
What about Club 33?
Ooh,
the Disney thing.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what's all. Not Patrick Ewing. No, get out of here.
What about a Zdeno Chara? Falk 33.
Ooh, Kevin Falk. 33.
Oh, are we just doing the Dong Report right now?
Pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
If you did a couple more of those, I would have forgot the point. I just said, don't let me forget.
We were trying.
On Monday Night Raw, Paul Heyman said Brock Lesnar's cashing in. He also said this would be a great time for me to lie. Do you think he's going to cash in? If the answer is yes, what do you think happens?
Did you see
the promo?
The it's real okay question. I did not. But okay. The real question is because it's winner take all, if he cashes in, is he also the Raw Women's Champion?
Oh, I would love that world. Because if you want to talk about the Ellsworth controversy for the briefcase, that would be it. If Brock Lesnar's the Women's Champion, he just goes, come and get it. Yeah. And then that's how we bring back Rousey.
Yeah, and she beats the bag out of him.
And she beats Brock Lesnar in just... the match Dana White was scared to book. Vince McMahon goes for it.
Did you see the Asker fight?
No.
Oh, my God.
Her name is Asuka.
No,
he sounds like a guy from the South Shore. Yeah. You see that Asker fight? You see that chick Asker fight on a Tuesday?
So Asker is a UFC fighter.
Oh, Chicago.
Yeah, yeah, the knees.
The knees to the noggin?
Yeah, talk about knee to faces.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
Holy
was actually...
shit.
It's like
he made CM Punk blush. I was talking about so fast.
My buddy Derek's a huge MMA fan. We literally watched it on his laptop that like 15 times, and we watched it. He even get interviewed about it because like, you know, and he was talking about it. He goes, first of all, the knockout should be 3 seconds. Watch him hit the ground. It was 3 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other thing, too, is and my buddy and I were talking about it. Statistically, that will forever be the quickest knockout ever because it can't be faster. It was the first point of contact in the fight.
Yes.
Was the knockout.
Yeah. The only way it could be faster if for some odd reason that ref got there faster.
Right, exactly. And maybe like 4 seconds, maybe, or like lunged a little bit. But like, yeah, I don't think statistically...
Or started anticipating and just waiting.
Right. I don't think statistically he could win a fight in shorter amount of time. Like, honest to goodness. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's just one of those records that, like, that's the human record.
That dude got knocked out. Like,
his leg was rigid.
I called that like action movie knocked out.
Yeah,
like that's the type of knocked out that like John Wick does to somebody where it's just like, oh god, and then his arm is just stuck out.
Like, I know it's MMA and this is how it rolls, but that, and so this is gonna sound dramatic, but bear with me. That ref jumping on him saved his life.
It did,
because he was
that asshole was just pummeling him in the face.
Here's what I'll say though, because people have asked me about this because they know I'm a big like boxing and MMA guy. The fight wasn't over. You're supposed to, you know.
He was punching him in the face until the ref told him to stop.
He didn't, you know, kick him when he was down and the ref had stopped him and he was an asshole. Yep. He punched him. He got him twice and, he knew he was out. But the fight wasn't over. That's how this works.
Right.
That's how this works.
Also, the entire storyline to that fight was the guy stopped and won his fight because the ref told him it was over when the guy that won was like, no, that fight wasn't over. So it's just
insane.
Like, yeah.
So the actual question, will Brock Lesnar cash in? And if yes, you might say no. If yes, what happens?
I don't think he will.
Okay. So here's the promo in a nutshell, just so you know. Paul Heyman went out there and he said, here's the first, when anytime I say this is a spoiler, it always comes true. And I haven't said that since WrestleMania, whatever. And since WrestleMania 30, if I use the word spoiler, it comes true. Check my record. Here's a spoiler. Brock Lesnar's cashing in the Money in the Bank at Extreme Rules. And then the end of the promo, very awesome. Paul Heyman, he goes, here's the thing, though. I just told you that I've never used the word spoiler, and it's always, always been true.
Right.
So doesn't that mean that I've built enough credibility where this would be the perfect time to lie? And so you're just like, that's what the Joker would say.
you know what
I mean? Because he's right. He goes, anytime I've used the word spoiler, I'm right. But eventually, that'd be a great chip in my pocket where I can lie about it and you'll still believe me. You'll believe me going in before the lie.
Right.
And so it's like open-ended question. Do you think Brock does and what happens?
I don't, but this is what I've been talking about with why giving Brock Lesnar the briefcase is the best decision. Because you now added a level of drama that wasn't there to this match that is
to
now there.
To both of them.
Yeah. Because
to both of them.
Yes.
To Kofi's match.
Oh, yeah. Because, yeah, man. I don't know. Is Brock Lesnar here? Is he going to cash in? I don't know. But now that's in the back of my mind. And I care about what Brock Lesnar's doing. And it just adds a layer of drama to the entire thing.
Because he could. The weird thing about it is that, like, I think this match goes on last. You know what I mean? And so, like, if he doesn't cash in on Kofi at 9:30, then he's not going to challenge him later and all that stuff.
Right.
But if for some reason Kofi goes on last, Brock's going to beat him. That's what's going to happen. I think Brock's going to make a physical appearance and not cash in. What I think is going to
happen. Sure, he might be there. I don't think he's cashing in, but I think that I don't think he even shows up.
Okay, Bill, what do you think?
I don't think he shows up either.
Finally the lie.
Yeah.
But this is by design.
Cuz that mixed tag match is definitely going to be the main event.
I would agree
with you.
The
winner take all.
So let's get to the match itself. This is a very interesting thing because WWE, to their credit, here's a good thing, right? If this was a one-on-one match in both ways, I would expect Lacey Evans to win and Baron Corbin to lose. But now they're in a boat where they both have to. I have to be wrong about one of them now. Right. You know what I mean? And I wouldn't expect Baron Corbin to pin Seth Rollins at a pay-per-view to become the Universal Champion. I could see a world where somehow Lacey Evans fucks over Becky Lynch so bad that she gets that win over her, and so by default, Seth Rollins loses his title. There's also so much foreshadowing to, if they lose, would there be drama? That I think WWE wants to go down that road eventually, and they tend to strike while the iron is hot. I kind of think that the bad guys are going to win.
I would love... Do you want to get all the heat on Baron Corbin? I want Baron Corbin to give Becky Lynch the end of days, and that's how Lacey Evans pins her.
Okay.
Because then you hate Baron Corbin.
Or if he's
more.
Or if he's allowed to, let him pin her.
Yeah, something's crazy.
Well, we're talking heat here, right?
Theoretically, there should be no rules because it's extreme rules.
Right. You want to make them anger? There it is. Lacey Evans is the reason, but Baron Corbin pins her.
Yeah. Sure.
What do you think is going to happen?
I think that Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch are going to win.
I think that if you made me, again, this thing where if you made me bet, I'd tell you that the good guys are going to win because right now they're the power couple of the year and they're still, again, WWE stuff. You want to hear it, but here it is. There's still some summer appearances to make, award shows to go to.
Well, and the big thing is SummerSlam's the big show. If we were going to take the belt off of both of them at once, it'd be at SummerSlam.
I think you're probably right, or at the very least, we might want them on the poster with it, because they whether you like it or not, in the poll or whatever, they see juice in them as a couple, and I don't think that's over yet. I would bet on the good guys. I do think the bad guys have a swinging shot at this thing.
If the bad guys have a swinging shot at this, then Baron Corbin definitely does not leave Universal Champion.
Oh, you think Brock would just... You think so? Wouldn't that try to make you feel good about Brock?
Yeah, sure.
Is that what we're doing?
I think if
Rollins retains, there's a much better chance that you at least see Lesnar.
No, because Seth Rollins just gets so mad that Brock stole everything from him.
See, here's how I'm going to write this thing, okay? Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch retain. Brock Lesnar's music hits. Holy crap, he is here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're looking for ratings. We're looking for reasons to come. Holy crap, Lesnar is here, right? Comes down to the ring, and you know who gets in his face, but you know, is the cream in the Oreo here between their nose to nose, is Becky Lynch. And because he sees that Becky Lynch is here, he does that whole thing where he's like, oh, maybe tonight isn't the best night. Not like, he doesn't quiver.
No, you know, but it's just like, I don't want to fight this Cocker Spaniel.
Right, I don't want to deal with her ringside. Like, usually I'm the guy with the advantage ringside. Yeah. I don't want her, that's how I'm writing this, is that she's like the, oh, I'm in your face now, Brock Lesnar, and there's no way you're going to be me beefing.
I also would like to see her get a couple strikes in on Brock.
Could be to the point where he's like, okay, all right, I'm not.
And she does the Bexploder to him.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Something like that, but I think at the very least I could see the visual of them going nose to nose, and then her becoming, like I said, kind of the cream in the Oreo, and then like she's nose to dick tattoo. Doing that thing where it's like, you know, I'm here to fight me, fight both of us, fight me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, fight me. Cash in on my women's championship.
And then the vision. Right. Honestly, I could see her grabbing the mic and being like, fight me, big guy. You know what I mean? Like, seriously. And because that's what this program's centered around. I'm not even joking. You know what I mean? This isn't a pipe dream to me. And then Brock just kind of has that like, tonight's not the night thing.
Yeah.
And you know, if you go to the pay-per-view, you might see Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
I'm going to write that. That's and then nothing will happen like that because that's, you know, I wrote the whole thing. So final predictions. Good guys or bad guys?
Good guys.
Good guys.
I would also go with the good guys, you know, gun to my head.
Just because SummerSlam's next.
Yeah, no, it's a great point to make. Thank you guys so much for being Patreons, for taking that extra step. If you're enjoying what you're hearing, please tell your friends. It really does go a long way, and we appreciate it so much. Thank you for the birthday wishes and love, and we've got more fun stuff coming, we promise, and we'll see you soon, and enjoy, and we love you. Goodbye. Thank you.
We out.